cállate la boca que eres un conspiranoico.
Que a mucha gente se le va la mano, que si la tierra es plana, que si el papa es reptiliano, me da igual que la forma de la tierra sea un banano, pero que no se metan con mis derechos humanos. Y no, yo no creo que vivamos en la Matrix, ni que los presidentes sean iluminados. Yo no digo que todas las noticias sean falacias, pero puta, hay que tener un poquito de suspicacia. Y ahí va la propaganda propagando ideología, niños ricos revolucionarios de la burguesía, socialistas hablando de homofobia, qué ironía. En fin, la hipocresía. Sí, no. Nos meten adoctrinamiento desde la escuela, nos hablan de Bin Laden y de las Torres Gemelas. La versión oficial no se la traga ni mi abuela, pero mejor me callo pa' no meterme en candela.
Conspiranoico, esquizofrénico, lunático, psicótico, demente y paranoico. Si yo te traiga las noticias, las premisas que publican los periódicos, mejor cállate la boca que eres un conspiranoico.
Tranquilo, yo solo soy un rapero. Usted crea en lo que quiera y yo creo en lo que quiero. Y si no le cuadra lo que dice esta canción, siga con Teletica, Amelia Rueda y La Nación. Total, si ya esto está más que cocinado, el que no está mastrado ya lo tiene sentenciado. Tenga mucho cuidado, no te pases de bocón, no podrías suicidarte sin ninguna explicación. No hay opción, como sea, estamos listos para la foto. O nos joden por un lado o nos joden por el otro. Siempre encontrarán la forma para manipularlo a uno. Será el COVID-19, el 20 o el 21. Te tachan de ignorante, te acusan de locura. Primero te difaman y luego te censuran. Y si no estás de acuerdo, mejor cállate la boca, que aquí le va mejor a los que aplauden como foca.
Conspiranoico, esquizofrénico, lunático, psicótico, demente y paranoico. Si yo te traiga las noticias, las premisas que publican los periódicos, mejor cállate la boca que eres un conspiranoico. Conspiranoico, esquizofrénico, lunático, psicótico, demente y paranoico. Si yo te traiga las noticias, las premisas que publican los periódicos, mejor cállate la boca que eres un conspiranoico.
La revista de la semana. El gabinete ministerial de Gabriel Boric. Los ecos de la designación del gabinete ministerial del presidente electo chileno Gabriel Boric han continuado esta semana. Por otro lado, los nombramientos de subsecretarios, cargos equivalentes a los que en otras partes se conocen como viceministros, serán anunciados el martes próximo. En la designación de su equipo de trabajo, que se hará cargo del gobierno de su país el 11 de marzo, Boric, el mismo militante del partido Convergencia Social, integrante de la coalición izquierdista conocida como Frente Amplio, ha tenido que realizar todo un fino trabajo de filigrana para asegurar que su gobierno mantenga el sello renovador de izquierda que representan tanto el Frente Amplio como su aliado, el Partido Comunista. Al mismo tiempo, sin embargo, y dado que su fórmula electoral llamada Apruebo Dignidad no tiene por sí sola una mayoría en el poder legislativo, Boric ha tenido que incorporar a su equipo de trabajo a integrantes de algunos de los conglomerados que gobernaron antes, bajo la vieja coalición llamada Concertación. En particular, ello se ha reflejado en la presencia más o menos conspicua de integrantes del Partido Socialista, el Partido por la Democracia, PPD, y el Partido Radical. El Partido Demócrata Cristiano, sin embargo, hizo ver desde el primer momento que, si bien apoyó la elección de Boric, no tenía intenciones de ser parte del gobierno. El equipo ministerial ha marcado nuevos hitos, todos muy importantes. Es el primer gabinete chileno en el que habrá una mayoría de mujeres, 14 de un total de 24 carteras ministeriales. Dos de los ministros designados pertenecen a la comunidad LGBT y la mayoría de ellos son jóvenes. El próximo ministerio, bien dicho, la próxima ministra del Interior, el Ministerio del Interior es el más importante del gabinete, será comandado por una médica de 35 años, Iskia Siches. Simbólicamente también una nieta de Salvador Allende, la socialista Maya Fernández, será ministra de Defensa. Las designaciones, hasta ahora recibidas casi unánimemente con beneplácito por la ciudadanía, tampoco han estado completamente exentas de polémicas. El nombramiento de Mario Marcel, actual presidente del Banco Central, como futuro ministro de Hacienda, esto es, el ministro encargado de las finanzas del país, ha suscitado algunas reticencias. Marcel, que en algún momento fue socialista, es considerado como un economista que sigue la ortodoxia monetarista y se teme que actúe como un obstáculo para el cumplimiento de algunas metas del programa de Boric, que son bastante audaces en su alcance, pero que no cuentan con el apoyo del empresariado. Se complica esta situación con la costumbre en Chile de que el ministro de Finanzas ejerce, en muchos casos, una suerte de veto sobre las iniciativas de los otros ministerios. Esto le concedería un nivel de control sobre otros ministros, algo que en otros países sería inaceptable. En otras partes, el trabajo del ministro encargado de las finanzas públicas es el de buscar por todos los medios los recursos para financiar las iniciativas de sus otros colegas, pero no someterlas a escrutinio, ni mucho menos vetarlas. La presencia de este economista como encargado de las finanzas, sin embargo, se ha entendido como un intento de parte de Boric de calmar las ansiedades de los mercados financieros. Al mismo tiempo, si el ministro Marcel se convierte en un obstáculo para los cambios que el pueblo chileno ha venido exigiendo y que se han plasmado en el programa de Boric, entonces el presidente se vería él mismo en aprietos. Cabe esperar que eso no ocurra. Lo que nos lleva también al hecho mismo de la diversidad ideológica del gabinete, algo que tiene su punto favorable en posibilitar apoyos a las iniciativas del gobierno desde amplios sectores de la población. Pero esa variada composición del gabinete ministerial puede también convertirse en un obstáculo si se producen disensiones internas en el gabinete que puedan complicar el trabajo de equipo. Chile tuvo una situación parecida con el gobierno de Carlos Ibáñez entre 1952 y 1958. Ese presidente inició su mandato con un gabinete también muy variado, con una orientación populista de izquierda, con ministros socialistas y del Partido Agrario Laborista. A mediados de su mandato giró hacia un populismo de derecha, para en un momento tomar un rumbo más autoritario con militares en el gabinete y para terminar su mandato con un sello un poco más progresista, pero con una profunda crisis de mal manejo económico. Todo ello en gran parte resultado de las peleas intestinas de su equipo de gobierno. Aparte de esta situación, de que por cierto es evitable, el equipo de Boric tendrá otro desafío grave en el tema de la Araucanía. Esta es la región donde se concentra la población mapuche que desde hace años mantiene un conflicto con el gobierno central y que en los últimos tiempos ha aumentado su grado de violencia y la complejidad de la confrontación, ya que en él no solo hay actores políticos, sino también otros externos a la causa mapuche misma, incluso elementos criminales, y recientemente también grupos paramilitares. Boric ha anunciado que no renovará el estado de emergencia en la región instaurado por el gobierno de Sebastián Piñera, lo que ha permitido el despliegue de contingentes militares en la zona. En cambio, ha dicho que privilegiará el diálogo. Algunos grupos mapuches, sin embargo, han indicado que para ellos esa instancia estaría agotada y en cambio se plantean una lucha armada. Los temas económicos o sociales, en particular la reforma a las pensiones, al sistema de salud y el mejoramiento de la educación, serán también otro de los grandes desafíos que el equipo del nuevo presidente deberá enfrentar. ¿Lo veremos trabajar como un equipo bien ensamblado o las diferencias que puedan surgir entorpecerán su camino? Esperamos que haya la voluntad política para superar esas diferencias, porque en Chile, en estos momentos, hay mucho en juego. The echoes of the designation of the ministerial cabinet of the Chilean president-elect Gabriel Boric have continued this week. To the names announced last week, those of the undersecretaries, positions equivalent to deputy ministers, will be unveiled this coming Tuesday. In the designation of his team, which will take over the government of his country on March 11th, Boric, himself a militant, a member of the Convergencia Social Party, a member of the leftist coalition known as Frente Amplio, has got to carry out a fine filigree work to ensure that his government maintains the renovating seal of the left that both Frente Amplio and its ally, the Communist Party, represent. At the same time, however, and given that his electoral formula called Apruebo Dignidad does not have by itself a majority in the legislative branch, Boric has had to incorporate into his team of collaborators members of some of the conglomerates that previously governed under the old coalition called Concertación. In particular, this has been reflected in the presence, more or less conspicuous, of members of the Socialist Party, to which they have been added also members from the Party for Democracy, PPD, and the Radical Party. The Christian Democratic Party, however, made it clear from the outset that although it supported Boric's election, it had no intention of being part of the government. The ministerial team has set new milestones, all of them very important. It is the first Chilean cabinet in which there will be a majority of women, 14 out of a total of 24 ministerial portfolios. Two of the appointed ministers belong to the LGBT community, and most of them are young. The Interior Ministry itself, the most important of the cabinet, will be commanded by a 35-year-old female doctor, Iskia Siches. Symbolically also, a granddaughter of Salvador Allende, the socialist Maya Fernandez, will be Minister of Defense. The appointments, so far unanimously welcomed by the public, have not been completely free of controversy either. The appointment of Mario Marcel, current president of the Central Bank, as future Minister of Finance, has raised some reticence. Marcel, once a socialist, is considered an economist who follows monetarist orthodoxy, and it is feared that he will act as an obstacle to the fulfillment of some of the goals of Boric's program, which are quite bold in scope, but which do not have the support of the business community. This situation is complicated by the custom in Chile that the Minister of Finance exercises in many cases a sort of veto over the initiatives of the other ministries. This will give whoever fills the post of a level of control over other ministers, something that would be unacceptable in other countries. Elsewhere, the job of the minister in charge of public finances is to seek, by all means, the resources to finance the initiatives of his other colleagues, but not to scrutinize them, much less veto them. The presence of this economist in charge of finances, however, has been understood as an attempt by Boric to calm the anxieties of the financial markets. At the same time, if Minister Marcel becomes an obstacle to the changes that the people of Chile have been demanding and which have been embodied in Boric's program, then the president will find himself in trouble. This also brings us to the very fact of the ideological diversity of the cabinet, something that has its favorable point of enable support for government initiatives from broad sectors of the society, of the Chilean society. But this varied composition of the cabinet can also become an obstacle if internal dissensions within the cabinet can complicate teamwork. Chile had a similar or comparable situation with the government of Carlos Ibáñez between 1952 and 1958. That president began his term with a cabinet with a left-wing populist orientation, with socialist and agrarian Labour Party ministers. In the middle of his term, he turned to a right-wing populism to at one point take a more authoritarian course with military men in the cabinet, to end his term with a slightly more progressive stamp, but with a deep crisis of economic mismanagement. All of these, in large part, were the result of infighting within his government team. Apart from this situation, which is certainly avoidable, Boric's team will have another serious challenge in the Araucanía issue. This is the region where the Mapuche population is concentrated, which has been in conflict with the central government for years, and which in recent times has increased its degree of violence and the complexity of the confrontation, since there are not only political actors in it, but also, well, paramilitary groups and even criminals involved. Boric has announced that he will not renew the state of emergency in the region, instituted by the government of Sebastián Piñera, which had allowed the deployment of military troops in the area. Instead, he has said that he will favor dialogue. Some Mapuche groups, however, have indicated that for them, such an instance will be exhausted, and instead, they are considering an armed struggle. Economic and social issues, particularly pension and health care reform, and the improvement of education, will also be another major challenges facing the new president's team. Will we see this cabinet working as a well-assembled team, or will the differences that may arise hinder its path? We hope that there will be the political will to overcome these differences, because there is a lot at stake in Chile at the moment. Good day.
Me contaron los abuelos que hace tiempo navegaba en el César una piragua que partía del banco Viejo Puerto a las playas de amor en Chimichagua. Caboteando el vendaval se estremecía, impasible desafiaba la tormenta. De estrellas la seguía, tachonándola de luz y de leyenda. We'll be right back.
Y ahora vamos al fichero latino de hoy, 30 de enero. Entre los anuncios de interés público tenemos a la comunidad peruana en Quebec. Hasta mañana, 31 de enero, se llevará a cabo la segunda encuesta mundial de la comunidad peruana en el exterior 2021, organizada por el Ministerio de Relaciones Exteriores del Perú y el Instituto Nacional de Estadística e Informática, INEI. Es un esfuerzo conjunto de las entidades públicas para trabajar en los planes, programas y servicios orientados a beneficiar a las comunidades peruanas en el exterior.
Para el caso del Consulado General del Perú en Montreal, se ha establecido la cuota muestral de 199 encuestas completadas como mínimo, al haberse tomado como fuente la base de datos del RENIEC de la comunidad peruana residente dentro de esta jurisdicción consular.
Para llenar la encuesta, comuníquense con el consulado para tener más información.
Y la dosis de refuerzo de la vacuna contra el COVID-19. Están abiertas las inscripciones para vacunarse con la tercera dosis a las personas que tengan 18 años y más. Las dos primeras dosis ya están también disponibles para los niños entre 5 y 12 años. Consultar y reservar en línea en el sitio web Clic Santé en francés o en inglés.
Y entre las publicaciones tenemos l'édition française du livre Présent Chilien à la Belle Provence, est maintenant disponible à la librairie de l'Université de Montréal, c'est-à-dire dans les 3200 rue Brilliant, à la librairie Bertrand, 430 Saint-Pierre, dans le Vieux-Montréal, et en ligne sur le site de Renovre au prix de 10$ plus taxes.
The book Chilean Presence in La Belle Provence, English version of the book Presencia Chilena en La Belle Provence, written by Sergio Martinez and Roberto Hervas, is already on sale at Argos Bookstore, located at 1841A, St. Catherine West, and Paragraph Bookstore on 2220 McGill College Avenue. Price, $10 plus tax.
Edición inglesa del libro Presencia Chilena en La Belle Provence, Chilean Presence in La Belle Provence, escrito por Sergio Martínez y Roberto Hervás, ya está a la venta en la librería Argos en el 1841A, esto es, en St. Catherine West, y en la librería Paragraph en el 2220 de McGill College Avenue al precio de $10 más impuestos.
Y el tiempo para hoy, según Environment Canada, la Oficina Meteorológica Nacional de Canadá. Soleado con una temperatura máxima de menos 12 grados. Para esta noche despejado con una mínima de menos 16 grados.
Y recuerde que si usted o su organismo comunitario tienen alguna información que desean difundir en el fichero latino, tienen que comunicarse con nosotros a Latin Time a nuestra dirección electrónica laplaza.info@gmail.com.
O también puede enviarnos un mensaje en Facebook. Vaya a www.facebook.com/tiempolatino.latintime y de paso denos un like. Nuestra página Facebook también se actualiza ahora diariamente con noticias y reportajes sobre lo que ocurre en América Latina y el mundo. Síganos en Facebook.
Y Tiempo Latino es escuchado en América Latina y en todo el mundo a través del Internet. Entra al sitio de CKUT en la siguiente dirección, www.ckut.ca.
Y usted puede acceder también a nuestro programa en cualquier otro horario simplemente yendo al archivo de CKUT en el sitio web ya indicado y presionando Latin Time.
Durante la pandemia, nuestros niños demostraron lo fuertes, pacientes y resilientes que pueden ser. Llegó el momento de que vuelvan a disfrutar de la niñez. Junto a familiares y amigos, con sus compañeros de equipo, junto a otros niños. La vacunación contra la COVID-19 puede ayudar a que los niños vuelvan a ser niños. Programa sus citas de vacunación cuando la vacuna esté disponible para ellos. Un mensaje del Gobierno de Canadá.
Hoy la flaca nos dejó bordados a su recuerdo, empapaditos de ausencia y un hueco de ojos abiertos. Fue siempre fiel a sí misma, dar su mayor recompensa. sin conocer el dinero, tuvo todas las riquezas. Hoy la flaca nos dejó atrapados en su voz. Nunca quiso ir a la escuela del maquillaje a la norma, desaprendió las razones que no viven en la flor. Vibró sus alas de fénix para inventarse la vida. El amor que no termina, algo en grilla de los dos. Nunca quiso ir a la escuela que dirige la razón. Ella nos enseñó todo sin decir una palabra. La síntesis es la muerte, y en la muerte va el destino. Yo nunca espero llegar, porque vivo en el camino. Yo nunca espero llegar por el camino. Pena, florece un pétalo eterno, un gato habitó su alma, sin raza en el corazón, de su tierra las fronteras se marcharon para siempre, y en la piel de su bandera brilló en sombra un ideal. Cuando es bella la tristeza, su luz no tiene final. Nos enseñó todo sin decir una palabra. La síntesis es la muerte, y en la muerte va el destino. Yo nunca espero llegar, porque vivo en el camino. Yo nunca espero llegar por el camino. Sonrisa, supo ser noche, ser viento, un vendaval en el pecho me dejó cuando se fue. La flaca murió de luz en una noche de ausencia, olvidándose en orillas sobre los labios del mar. Hoy la flaca me dejó una sombra sin final. Acá me dejó una sombra sin final.
Y esto ha sido todo por hoy. Tiempo Latino es una producción del Taller Latinoamericano de Comunicaciones.
Latin Time is a Latin American Communications Workshop Production.
Estuvimos hoy con ustedes.
Our team today.
Daniel Lara y Sergio Martínez en las voces.
Sergio Martínez and Daniel Lara at the mics.
Y Rommel Cajavilca en la producción técnica, la compaginación y la selección musical.
And Rommel Cajavilca in the technical production, edition and music selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa, The International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT, next, The International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes un feliz domingo.
Have a happy Sunday.
This is Tony Straka from Lansdale, Pennsylvania. The International Radio Report presents 30 minutes of news, information, and commentary on developments in the world of radio every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at ckut.ca.
Welcome to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. My name is Sheldon. I'm here with Jill. We thank you for joining us. It's our weekly visit with you for half an hour of news and information from the world of radio. Our email address, radioreport@yahoo.com. We're live streaming and archived at ckut.ca. Our Facebook page, International Radio Report. We have two new members this week. We welcome Charlie and Joe to the group. And our YouTube channel, if you'd like to go and listen to the show at your leisure, it is youtube.com/International Radio Report. And we have 567 subscribers to the channel at this point. We're hoping to get some new content up there for you in the next month or so. So keep an eye out there for any special editions that we may have of the show. In the meantime, you can listen to the latest show and previous shows archived on the YouTube channel. So we have a lot of information for you today, both from here in Canada, North America, and around the world. So we'll get started with the reminder of the upcoming annual NASWA Winter SWL Festival. We talked about it last week. We'll be talking about it right up to the event itself. It's taking place on March the 4th and the 5th of 2022. And we invite you to go check out the website. Registration for the event is now open. There is a $10 fee to register for the full two-day schedule of events. You can't get a better bargain than that, I'd say.
Oh, no.
All sessions except the shortwave shindig are 1 hour. There'll be a hospitality suite that'll be hosted by the CIDX Club. That'll be open throughout the weekend. And you can go to the website to see the full list of all the events that will be taking place. It is SWL Fest. That's SWLFEST.com. And again, it's March the 4th and the 5th. And it's a virtual event. You can register directly through the website there and pay your $10. You'll get all the information back later on with all the links for the Zoom hookups for the presentations and for the hospitality suite. So I heard from Richard and John, the organizers. I think we're over 100 people registered already, and it's only the end of January. So we hope to have a good-sized crowd turn up for that on March the 4th and the 5th. Last year it was Zoom, virtual event. It was great. Lots of people had the opportunity to attend for the first time because of it being on Zoom. So we hope to see many of the regulars, plus a whole bunch of new people coming in again this year. So once again, swlfest.com is the place to go with all the latest information and the place to register to participate.
Yeah, please do. For $10, you have no idea how much fun you're going to have.
Oh, it's going to be great. Everybody's all pumped up about it already and talking it up and getting ready for it. So there's a really good list. You'll see the list of all the different forums that are scheduled. It's going to be really interesting. We want to remind you of something coming up on February the 5th. If you're looking to find something interesting on the radio, this comes from Mike Terry through World of Radio. Radio Andorra Revival. It's one of those little countries in Europe that we don't hear talked about very much. And they're going to reactivate a very famous radio station that was on shortwave at one point. Radio Andorra Revival will take place on February the 5th. And it will be on a number of different channels and frequencies. For North America, it will be 1200 to 1400 UTC on 5850 kilohertz via WRMI in Florida. If you're in Europe, it will run from 1630 to 1830 UTC on 6175 kilohertz. That's from the Moosbrunn transmitter site in Austria. Also in Europe, it will be on medium wave from 1900 to 2100 on 1467 kilohertz. That's through the Radio Monte Carlo transmitter in France. And for Africa, Asia, and South America, 2130 to 2330 on 7400 kilohertz via the Armenia shortwave transmitter site. So this will be really something quite interesting to listen to. There will be online feed of it as well. We'll put up the link to that for you. And we thank Christian Milling for sending along this information via Christoph DXer to ADX Facebook group. No, I don't think I was listening to shortwave when Radio Andorra was still around. So it's been gone for a very long time. So this will be a nice opportunity to hear the station activate again. I would imagine most of the transmission will be in French, but that remains to be seen.
Yeah, last year when they did the same broadcast, it was mostly French. There was a little bit of English IDs, but most of it was in French. Yeah. I'm surprised at how early in the morning the one is for North America. 12 to 14 UTC is quite early here in North America.
Yeah, it's they are spacing them out throughout the day for different areas. But yeah, I was thinking they would have put one on like prime time for North America, but instead it will be on early in the morning. But yeah, you'll have a number of different opportunities to hear it. And if not, you can certainly check it out online. Yeah. So we'll put up all those links for you on our Facebook page.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be surprised that the 2130 from Armenia and 7400 might make it also. So what's coming up? World Radio Day, Sunday, February the 13th, 2022. Proclaimed in 2011 by member states of UNESCO and adopted by the United Nations General Assembly in 2012 as an International Day, February 13th became World Radio Day. Radio is a powerful medium for celebrating humanity in all its diversity and constitutes a platform for democratic discourse. At the global level, radio remains the most widely consumed medium. The unique ability to reach out the widest audience means radio can shape a society's experience of diversity, stand as an arena for all voices to speak out, be represented and heard. Radio stations should serve diverse communities, offering a wide variety of programs, viewpoints and content, and reflect the diversity of audiences in their organizations and operations. Radio continues to be one of the most trusted and used media in the world, according to different international reports. The theme for the 2022 edition of World Radio Day is thus devoted to radio and trust. Celebrations in 2022, on the occasion of World Radio Day 2022, UNESCO calls on radio stations worldwide to celebrate this event's 11th edition and more than a century of radio. This edition of the World Radio Day is divided into three main sub-themes: trust in radio journalism, trust and accessibility, trusts and viability of radio stations. So this is going to be interesting, and it is true that radio is very important. And I think with events happening right now around the world and in Russia, Ukraine, and all of that, radio is very important and still plays one of the most vital roles in giving out the information needed for populations that might be in a dire situation. Still shows. It's extremely important.
Yeah, we'll be on the air that day with a show.
Yep.
Because it is a Sunday, February the 13th. So we'll have some content in our broadcast on that day focusing on World Radio Day. I know CKUT, we've informed them of the event, and they're going to spread the word around to all the different programs and programmers. And you can do the same to your own local radio stations, or if you work at a radio station, you may want to mark that day. So we'll put up the website where you can go and learn a little bit more about the day. And they give you some suggestions, some ideas of things that you might want to discuss or talk about. And you'll be able to register your event on the page as well, so that people can go to the page and check and see what different stations around the world are doing to mark World Radio Day. So that's coming up Sunday, February the 13th. And here on the International Radio Report, we will mark the occasion as well. Next, we are going to take you down to Trinidad and Tobago, somewhere I don't think we've ever talked about on the show as far as radio, and something interesting going on down there. This comes from the Jamaica Observer via Radio World. Trinidad and Tobago regulator issues warning after radio station broadcasts an interview with a prison inmate. The Telecommunications Authority of Trinidad and Tobago has warned broadcasters to comply with all of the conditions set out in their concessions after a radio station last month broadcasted an interview with an inmate at the island's Golden Grove prison. In the statement, the authority said it had conducted an investigation of the Slam Roadblock show broadcast on Guardian Media Limited's Slam 100.5 FM on December 1st last year for inappropriate content and possible breach of its concessions. Upon review of the program, they found that the hosts of the show facilitated and encouraged an interview with a purported inmate of the maximum security prison, the regulator said, adding that the inmate was permitted to make statements that would have disturbed the general public, particularly at a time when several prison officers lost their lives, reportedly at the hands of criminal elements. A TATT said that it also found that the radio station ought to have known that inmates are not allowed to access mobile phones and that the use of the mobile phone by the inmate to communicate with the station would have been unauthorized and contrary to the law. They said that it found that the station did not adhere to the standards of taste and decency expected of a national broadcaster, as the station exercised poor judgment in permitting an inmate access to the public airwaves without due regard to the concerns of the public. A warning was issued to the station on the condition that the station issued a suitable apology and that the station undertakes exercises to caution and outline social responsibility in the conduct of interviews in the future. The organization said that the station issued an apology on January the 20th. It reports the station as saying, quote, "It was not the intention of our hosts or the management of Slam 100.5 to encourage, incite, or permit illegal contact by anyone, including anybody purporting to call in as an inmate of a prison." So it's an interesting story.
Yeah. Looks like maybe one part of it is that somebody somewhere did not think it through, that maybe there should have been a little more research on how we're going to do this. But it is kind of an interesting story, absolutely.
You know, there's something that CKUD does every year called Prison Radio, where they actually do some alternative programming where they talk about prisoners' rights, and they do actually have some prisoners interviewed during the special programming and what have you. But this seemed to be kind of just sort of a one-off thing. And as you said, maybe they didn't really look at the rules and regulations that were set up by the National Authority of Broadcasting. So it did get them into a little bit of hot water. They don't go into the content of the conversation that went on, but obviously they felt it necessary to clamp down on them. So kind of an interesting story. I hadn't come across something like that before.
Yeah, and an interesting side of the stories. I mean, most of us have pretty much very little or no idea of how it's working out inside. So what's happening with our sun? Well, we had a lot of geomagnetic storming going on at the beginning of the week. Actually, I was looking at one of the Canadian streaming websites where you could see auroras from Manitoba. And it was kind of interesting. I was comparing radio listening and the auroras as they were more or less, bright in the sky, and it was very interesting to look at. And of course, that kind of winded down as the propagation and the sun came back to normal. There's quite a few sunspot groups. We do have a sunspot count of 85, and the solar flux is above 100, which is very nice. What we are expecting is a continued flaring here and there that could happen. A couple of those sunspots are actually growing fast, so that could make some disturbances in our listening. There is a coronal hole that will be sending out some solar wind that could reach us on January 30th today. And so if conditions are not up to what you expect, that could be possible due to this. And depending on what's going to happen, and with a solar flux at 100 and more, it's time to listen to the higher frequencies, including the 10-meter band. And as we are coming up to World Radio Day, I got an idea. How about dedicating next Sunday to a full day of radio? So for that, You got to turn it on and listen.
For the latest news from the world of radio every Sunday morning at 10:30 on the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at CKUT.ca.
So there's a new clandestine station, Mizima Radio on shortwave. This is via Yimber Gavaria on the International Radio Report Facebook page. A new clandestine station began broadcasts on shortwave around January the 1st. The station is called Mizima Radio and is on the air on a daily basis via the Encompass DM transmitter at Dabaya in the United Arab Emirates. He noted in his logbook that January 11th, he heard it on a 17730 kHz via Dabaya, and it was sign-on at 1159 UTC with introductory music, clear ID, and announcements in Burmese at 12 UT, news at 1202, music at 1216 to introduce a commentary program. There was a good signal, except from some slight carrier hum, January 11th. The vision and mission statement for the station is to be a leading independent media organization on Myanmar, playing a vital role in building democracy and informing citizens. Mizima aims to provide high-quality news on a variety of topics with hard news, features, investigative stories, and more relating to Myanmar, which is balanced, timely, and accurate for Burmese and international audiences. By producing high-quality news, Mizima contributes to freedom of expression, opinion, and free flow of information in the public interest. So this is neat. I'm going to have to check that one out. It's interesting to see all these little stations popping up with relays like that that have programs for different communities. So this one for Myanmar, pretty interesting. I'm going to have to take a listen.
Yeah, it's an indication that they probably wouldn't be able to do this in Myanmar, to put out a station like this. So again, showing us the ability of putting a program out on shortwave, produced probably in some other country, being able to transmit via shortwave and getting those broadcasts into Myanmar for people to listen to. So it's, it all adds to what we keep talking about so much, the power and the reach of international radio.
Yeah.
There are no borders. You know, the signals can get through and people have the opportunity to hear news and information that they probably wouldn't be hearing on their domestic radio. Very important for stations like this to exist and important to have these relay transmitter sites around the world that stations like this can use to get their programming out.
This reaches to a very interesting topic that we did have on my live show on Wednesday. We came across, somebody asked a question about, if things go bad, can countries rebuild their shortwave transmitting capability, even at low power? And I said, I don't think today you can order a 100 kilowatt shortwave transmitter and it's ready to ship. They probably have to build it. I don't think they have them already done. They only do it when they ask for one and they want to buy one. And I said, I think the future of any country that wants to come back to shortwave for any kind of reason, political or whatever, will be through relays. They're going to do something and they're going to be on one of these relays. And I think this is a demonstration of that future of shortwave.
Yeah, there's a number of these big sites around, the Radio Miami site, of course, the one in Armenia. There's this one in the United Arab Emirates and a few others around that are being used by a lot of different broadcasters. It's certainly easier to do it that way than to try to, as you say, rebuild or build your own site to transmit from. Much more affordable to do it this way. So we have an interesting little story here from the United States that I thought you'd find interesting. It comes from Radio Inc. College kids hope to break radio record. On February the 5th, college students Zachary Sinutko and Colin Kennedy, who work at WJCU-FM in Cleveland, will try to break the Guinness World Record for the longest consecutive radio interview. The record is 25 hours and 26 minutes. WJCU is on the campus of John Carroll University, where the students hope to go for 25 hours and 30 minutes. They're allowed a 5-minute break every hour throughout the marathon. In an interview on Channel 19 in Cleveland, Sinutko and Kennedy said they have printed out 3,500 questions that they've accumulated over the last year. Now, we were looking at this story. We think this makes it sound like they're probably going to be interviewing each other.
Something like that, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. Could we sit and talk to each other for 25 hours and 30 minutes and have enough to talk about for that long?
Well, you know, we have a pretty good ability at talking about whatever, but that's a long time.
What's your record on your YouTube channel?
My record is
over 5 hours.
5 hours and 30 minutes. So that's pretty good for a guy that's alone. But of course, you've got the feedback of the chat room that helps you get subjects. But you better be prepared, that's for sure, if you want to interview and have, 3,500 questions. I think that might actually be fun to, you can listen to the stream of this, to take a listen from time to time throughout the 25 hours. I think it could be interesting.
Yeah, I'll look up the station. I didn't do that yet, but I'll look them up and see if they are streaming it. It would be fun to try to tune into this. They're doing it on February the 5th. Yeah, we'll check it out and see if they manage to break the record. It should be kind of fun. Thanks to the radio station for giving them the airtime to do yeah. those too. That's not many stations that would do that, I'm sure. Anyways, yeah, we just had that story just before that one about the new clandestine station. And there's been a lot of people talking about how radio is going to play a part in this whole Russia-Ukraine situation that's developing. And we're starting to see some stories pop up about that as we speak.
There's a lot of things happening. It's interesting how we noted that, I've been monitoring, you've been monitoring the buzzer on 4625 also. Some of the Kiwi SDRs that are actually blocking the waterfall just where 4625 is, so we don't see all the little troll faces and whatever they're trying to send in pictures there. And I've been listening to that on, I think it was Wednesday evening, from a Norwegian Kiwi SDR, and there was some really heavy metal music, which was actually on the frequency for a good hour, probably. So all sorts of things happening there.
Well, a lot of people were talking about, what even before this development with Russia and Ukraine as to, what is this station there for? Why does it just sit there buzzing all day long? And now there's some theories circulating. I read some just today that they think that this could more or less prove that this station has some sort of military purpose, because things have been happening with it since this whole development with Russia and the Ukraine situation. If they're able to do things to the signal, suddenly they're hearing communications of some sort, some CW, and then there's people trying to jam it. Somebody obviously knows why this station is there and what they intend to use it for.
There was also a lot of people noticed, there are some 24-hour monitors of the buzzer that, like, every time something changes, they just post it. And one of the things that we have noticed since all of this is happening is how many times the buzzer became a beeper and the sound changed. Some people reporting that there are some Russian phonetics being sent out from time to time as the buzzer stops for a couple of minutes. There's also been one reporting that the famous number stations that we get out of Russia are more active. One of them, M12, which is a Morse code number station, often has a transmission that says, well, if there's traffic, if we have something to send out, we'll be there. But most of the time there was no signal. But apparently lately, it's been almost all the time active with a message in Morse code, which means that, all of these little mysteries of shortwave that we are all intrigued, something's happening, and definitely it seems like someone out there knows that, what they are, and they the buzzer that, you know, for years is mostly a buzzer, suddenly kind of we realize kind of now that, well, you know what, it seems to be used for some reason.
Yeah, there's a purpose to them. You know, they're not just there because they're there. They're there for a reason. We're also noting a lot of traffic on the U.S. Air Force frequencies with messages going out. We don't know what those messages mean, but when we hear a lot of traffic, then we know that something is up.
Absolutely.
Generally involving movement of you know, equipment around and what have you. So we've got to keep an eye on things. One thing you might want to do, Radio Garden is a really interesting site to listen to radio stations from around the world. What's nice is you don't need a list. You just go to the world map and you see these little green dots and you click on them and you'll start hearing audio from a local radio station. So I was checking out some of the Ukrainian stations, some of the Russian stations, countries around the area to see if there was anything of interest there. So that's something you can do without even having a list of radio stations. Like if you want to listen on SDRs, you really kind of need to know the frequencies to go check. Whereas with the Radio Garden, you can just go to the world map, pick a spot, click on a green dot, and you'll be listening to the radio feed.
So we have upcoming ham radio contests.
We have quite a few this week coming up. First off, we have the Vermont QSO Party, 0000 Zulu February 5th to 2359 Zulu February 6th. It's organized by the Radio Amateurs of Northern Vermont. It is CW, SSB, and digital modes, 160 through 10 meters, plus 6 meters, 2 meters, and 70 centimeters. So pretty much all the bands for that one.
We have the 1010 International Winter Contest Single Sideband, 001 Zulu, February 5th to 2359 Zulu, February 6th, organized by the 1010 International Group. It is a 10-meter band contest only, and it's phone SSB.
Next to Mexico, the Mexico RTTY International Contest, 1200 Zulu, February 5th to 2359 Zulu, February 6th. Organized by the Federation of Mexican Radio Experimenters. It is 80 through 10 meters, and it is radio teletype only.
There's the Minnesota QSO Party, 14 Zulu to 2359 Zulu, February 5th. Organized by the Minnesota Wireless Association. It's 160 through 10 meters, no work bands, USB, CW, digital, but no FT4 or FT8.
The FYBO Winter QRP Sprint, 1400 to 2359 Zulu, February the 5th, organized by the Arizona Scorpion QRP Group. It is QRP HF only, CW or SSB with a 5-watt maximum, and they ask you to use or be close to or near the QRP calling frequencies, but no work bands during this event.
There's the British Columbia QSO Party, 16 Zulu, February 5th to 2359 Zulu, February 6th, organized by the Orca DX and Contest Club, 160 to 10 meters, no work bands, and it's phone and CW.
The European Union DX Contest is 1800 Zulu, February 5th to 1800 Zulu, February the 6th, organized by the European DX Contest Club. 10 meters through 160 meters, no work bands. It is CW and SSB.
And finally, the North American Sprint CW version, 23 Zulu February 5th to 03 Zulu February 6th, organized by the National Contest Journal. It's CW only, and it's 80, 40, and 20 meters only.
We'll put links up to all of these contests for you, as well as links to the majority of our stories here on the show today. So you can check all of that out on our Facebook group, International Radio Report. That will do it for us today. We thank you for tuning in. We'll be back again next Sunday with our next edition of the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye-bye. Oh,